Hey everyone, I want to welcome to a new episode of the Music Addict Podcast, of course, with myself, Tom McDonough, and my co.
And Mark Taylor, I
You beat
cut
me
you
to
off. Just in case you were going to try to trick me this time.
I was trying. Anyways, everyone, welcome to a new episode. Our guest this episode is it's Navia Biala.
Gala.
Yeah. I had to say that correctly. It's an easy one, really, but I seemed to trip over that one. Tripped over it during the interview, too. She is, obviously got young, she's younger on the younger side, and I believe was it 15?
Yeah, I know she's still in high school.
Yeah, I think it's 14, 15, and phenomenally mature voice.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of fun to talk to as well, man. You know, we do a lot of these, but when we're talking to the young ones, it really does restore my hope.
Yes. Yeah, she understands music. She's got a great concept. She's matured in what she's done, and she's realized it. Pure magic in music. So I foresee her being a force in music is going forward. She comes on us from one of our, instead of Reverb side, this is Songdo's side. So you guys will see different types of artists coming along this year from both sides. And you know what? More power to the world. I enjoyed having the conversation with her. She definitely was entertaining in the music end of it, and she took our, our wonderful big questions we kept throwing at her, and she handled them with very professional and mature status.
And she's got the support of her family. Her father seems to be a great guy who supports her, and that's so important to the young artists.
Oh, heck yeah. Definitely. Again, going into we're in March here, and obviously and headed towards April, and obviously weather's going to start changing to get out of the winter things so that you can have no more snow and 20 below, and I can go back to the 80s, 90s, and 100s.
You've really given it to me this winter.
Yes, you need to move south.
Yeah, talk to me when the hurricanes are coming, Tom.
Yes, but they missed us all, knock on wood. This year, we had none.
That's true.
We had one that was just off the coast. It did a little bit of things, but a little bit of wind, but nothing major.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, again, it's great to see great music, coming out. Again, hearing lots of different stuff between both, obviously, Songdo and Reverb. It's nice because we're seeing different artists across the board and so much music. But I will admit, some of it I can tell is AI.
Yeah, I mean, not this artist, but we have.
No, not this artist. No.
We have had a big boom, and I don't know why people submit AI music as though it's human. I'm not trying to poo-poo AI music, but don't pretend like it's human music. That's all. When we're going through and we're judging the music, we're truly trying to judge human
music. Now, don't get us wrong. We like AI music. I mean, I play with it a lot. Mark plays with it a lot. We actually have an AI radio station that does nothing but AI. But I agree, for doing it for those two verses, if it was on WXAI, it'd be another thing because we know what it is. But when it's being submitted as human developed or human produced and made music, yeah, I agree. But sometimes it's interesting to see the transition, how AI has changed. But I hate to say it, we can hear AI because it has a distinct sound.
Yeah, still, it's getting better though, Tom.
Getting better. Soon we won't be able to tell the difference.
Yeah.
Don't worry, those holograms will be touring soon.
That's true. It's already happening. Isn't there like a K-pop or one band?
There's a K-pop band. It's
all AI.
All AI, yeah. And they tour.
And they tour.
As AI, yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, virtual concerts are a thing. They were a thing during COVID. They can be still a thing. It's easy. It's easy way to charge people, pay, sit, watch in your home. You don't have to leave. I mean, I know a lot of people like going to the concerts because they like to experience the concert experience. But there's some that don't want to get up and move and go out the door. Sometimes it's harder, and that's I'm one of them at times. So I will not lie. I'd rather not leave it sometimes. But
But
yeah,
it's funny because when I go to a concert, I like to hear the live version of things. You know, I like to hear how they're interpreting it right now. And I don't know, as it stands now, I don't know if AI can do that yet, you
Give it.
know, but
Don't say never because the end of the
nope.
year it may come.
By the end of the year, absolutely. They'll have some new AI humanized feature that adjusts for live
Adjust
performance.
for live performance and talks to the crowd. AI could do that fast, and it can check the internet faster than we can ever check anything.
Absolutely. And again, we're not saying that this artist is using AI, but we're just saying that there has been a lot of AI being submitted.
Yes, we know this artist is not using AI. She's in studio, and she explains during the interview what she's been doing. So we know she's going into studio and doing what she's doing. So yeah,
Yes.
definitely she's not.
She is
And
not
again,
AI.
I was very impressed by her. Definitely, as someone to look out for. We will include all her links and her videos and into the bottom end of the interview and the explanation stuff. So definitely, you guys can check her out. I hope everyone enjoys her music as much as we have. And again, I'm just going to quickly roll through this and say on to my favorite part of the show, on to the interview.
On to them. See you on the other side.
Hey, everybody, I want to go to our next guest here at Music Attic, Navia B. And then again, I just heard it. You just say it.
Biala.
Biala, yes, and again, and I agree with the what we were just saying off camera. That does sound very Italian.
Well, did we get it right, first of all?
Yeah, you did. All right,
Okay.
and I have to, and I will give you this for your age. You're very well spoken,
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
extremely well spoken. So, obviously, congrats and kudos to your dad and your mom for that, because many I we've had and ironically we've had many people over different age groups that come through, and amazingly pretty much everyone we've had that have been in their teen years are extremely well spoken, sound older than they are. So I will get we love that accolades of that. It's great to see that you one have taken a musical journey and done really well with it. Two, also doing it out doing interviews. These are so important for your journey as a whole, because you need to obviously today's day and age there's so much music and compete and competition's so tough, and it's great to see people get out there because they have to be in front of everybody. If they're not in front of people, it's tough because it turns into so much. You got hundreds of thousands of songs released each day. It's tough to get out there. So it's
Yeah.
good to see that you're out there doing it. And I also have to say it's glad to hear that you're doing multiple things in it, in your journey. One of the things I want to know first is what got you interested in music? What was your driving force to that?
I've been in music my entire life. I've been interested in it since I was a little girl, around maybe 3 years old. I remember getting up on a stage for the first time and singing a song at my uncle's wedding. And at that age, you kind of, it's just what you're doing it for fun and you don't really take it seriously. But I think after that moment, I realized that this is what I want to do. And music gives me so much joy. Like when I get on the stage, I forget about everything and it's just me and the song, And ever since that event, I feel like I definitely have had more events where I've got up on the stage, started singing, and then when we were in lockdown, I was about what, 10, 11, I started writing songs. And at first it was more about, oh, something to do in lockdown. I'm so bored, just write a song. And I figured after I wrote the first one, I spoke to my parents about it, and we all agreed that, no, there's something here. It has potential. So we ended up going to a studio to get it professionally recorded and produced, and that turned into what you hear as my first song. So, yeah.
Wait, that was your first song?
Yeah, that was my first song when I was 10 or 11. It was called Cloudy Days.
Okay.
That's very cool. And it's awesome that you were able to communicate well with, get your parents on board on that, because going to studio is definitely an adventure. And it's great to start that early because that adventure, and Mark runs a big studio. It is one of the most important parts of the music process, in my opinion, because you writing it is one part of it, in the journey, but at the very end, producing it and making it and singing, you got to do, everyone always tries to make that such a perfectionist idea, but it is so important to be there and be part of that journey and that end of it. So many people are not going to studio anymore and doing it from their homes and doing it that way, but I don't think it's the same part of that process and learning process of how you can learn on your vocals, or in some cases, people playing, obviously instruments, they can learn a lot more in that respect. When you went in the studio part to it, how many, I mean, and I've seen this with a lot of people, vocals, they take one, take two, take 50, and what they do, and everyone will start realizing, if you start stepping back, take one and take 50 are almost identical. But everybody tries to get that certain level of where they're supposed to be. Is you're going now into where your music from compared to what you did when you were 10 or 11. Did you feel that you've grown since then?
Yes, I actually would say I have definitely grown. My voice has obviously changed from when I was 10 or 11. Like, I think if you listen to Cloudy Days and my recent song Older and my upcoming one, you will definitely notice a difference in, with my vocals. But also how I feel like my writing style has definitely changed a lot. Like, in Cloudy Days, obviously I wasn't into the, mature topics of teens, and like I was very much just, I was doing it for fun. I didn't take it seriously. But now I would definitely say this, the topics that I write about, they're very relevant to like teenagers nowadays. And I feel like it's definitely more of a thing that I want to take seriously when I'm older.
Cool. When you were writing, and now that you've been writing more, what would you say are your main influences? Is there an artist that you try to emulate or just inspires you to write?
I feel like my influences have definitely changed as I've grown up. Like, as of now, it would probably be the more Lizzie McAlpine, Gracie Abrams, actually mostly Lizzie McAlpine, her like style of indie music and the topics that she write about is really nice, and I feel like it's very relevant. But before, when I was probably around 10 or 11, when I released my first single, my influences were definitely Billie Eilish. Like, I loved her first album. I used to listen to it every day. It was, yeah, I was the biggest Billie Eilish fan back then.
Yeah, Billie has an interesting following, as well as she is just charismatic. I mean, look what she did at the Grammys just recently. She is a well-spoken and very straightforward girl. She and music-wise, I think she's the same way. Her very straightforward. Lizzie the same way. I think very straightforward in the music. And one of the things I have to say about both of them, and even Gracie, simplistic. There's no complications in their music, so there is not like you have a ton of stuff going on. Some artists like to put too much into the music, and it overcomplicates it. I think the simplistic songs are the ones that, looking at the Beatles,
That's true.
simplistic songs last forever, timeless.
Do you play an instrument?
Yes, I do. I've learned the piano since I was 7 years old. I've been self-taught, so I don't have a music teacher or anything like that. I'm definitely not a classically trained pianist, but I do write songs on the piano, for example. Or just around 6 months ago to a year ago, I started learning the acoustic guitar. So actually, Lizzie McAlpine has inspired me to pick up the guitar and write songs to that guitar because, I mean, as you guys probably know, Lizzie McAlpine, her music is generally acoustic guitar, electric guitar. There's not much piano in it. And yeah, so I know the acoustic guitar and piano.
And when you went to the piano, what did you try replaying something? Did something drive you to the piano? Like any certain song that you trying to, when you first tried doing it, or did you just try playing?
So I have always been surrounded with music since I was a young age. Like my dad plays piano as well. So I guess I've grown up with the sound of piano in my living room probably my entire life. And I think the first song that I played was like Happy Birthday or something like that. And I remember the first time I tried to play piano, I like started crying because I couldn't do it and it was really hard and I did not have the greatest first experience when it actually came to playing the piano. But I mean, something drove me back to it because I ended up playing it perfectly the next day. And I mean, I think it's just that sense of achievement. Once you've played a song really well, you want to move on to the next one. And yeah.
Yeah, I did not learn. I learned piano. I play piano, and I did not get trained either. And I learned that way. And it was this one song that I kept playing, trying to perfect. And of course, it's a very old song. Raindrops Are Falling on Your Head, which is an extremely old song. But we had an old piano, and of course, Mark and myself are a bit old now. But ultimately, it took me a month before I perfected that song. And you're right, it took me forever. I kept going back until I got it because there was no, I was on a mission. And then from that point on, I ended up playing professionally. And yeah, I agree. It's, some people can just pick up an instrument and do it, and others have to, it takes a bit. But I agree, it depends on the driving force behind you, how driven you are to want to do that.
But I
And
hope
again,
you keep, I'm
music's
sorry, go ahead.
emotion.
I hope you keep at it because there's such a movement now with AI and all of the programs and loops that a lot of the people that come into my studio, the thing that is missing from their music is the actual m music. And there's something about moving air where you're actually using an instrument and moving it, or you're playing it without something that was pre-done and you're tweaking it. You're actually coming up with it. I hope that you continue to play because I think as things move forward, there will become more and more value to people who can actually play.
Yeah, of course.
When you're writing music, are you one that you'll have an idea or something happens and you write, or is it just there's always something going on in your head and you have to get it out?
I feel like that answer has definitely changed again as I've gotten older. Like before, I would say there was always something stuck in my head and I would always want to write it down. But now, since I have obviously gotten busier, I feel like whenever something happens or anything like the inspiration strikes, that's kind of when I write. And when I write songs.
Do you write with the lyrics first or the music first?
So that answer has changed again because before I used to create the chords first and then the melody. And I tend to do the melody and the lyrics at the same time, it just flows together. But now, with my recent song, at least, I had one line stuck in my head, and I based my entire chords, my entire melody off of that one line. So it definitely does change song to song. And the line in my unreleased song would be, "How does it feel to pick up and then forget?" So that's what I based my whole song off of the first line.
And that's generally where most people are doing it nowadays, is trying to do that from there. I always start with the lyrics first and then move to the melodies and the chords, because you're right, it's interesting to get something stuck in your head and trying to go revolve around it. It's sometimes easier to do that in my thought and process. I've heard people go but either direction. It depends on how well people are in music and play, how well they play their instrument, I suppose, because some of them are playing it that way and then start and going the other direction. But I've always did that. One of the ones I learned really well from music was Allie Willis, who was in wrote many famous songs. And Allie could not pick up a music instrument and play for her life. And she did it with that way, and her and she taught me some more things, and that's why I stuck with it, and for the lyrics wise. So always a tough battle sometimes, because I'll get a thousand words written down and then throw out or combine some together, and it's sometimes it's a process. I understand that. How many songs are you writing on an average in a given period? Like, do you write every day? Do you write just
I feel like when I write songs is very infrequent. Like I might have one month where I'm very creatively inspired and I probably write maybe 9 or 10 songs a month. or something. And then in another month, I might not write any because I'm really busy or inspiration just hasn't striken yet. Because what happens is sometimes I really want to write about something and I have an idea, but it doesn't come out. And I feel like that's one of the annoying parts of making music, that inspiration strikes when you least expect it, or inspiration does strike and you can't put the idea on a piece of paper. So I feel like it's very infrequent, the duration and timings I make music.
Same. I go in bunches. It's the way it kind of works, I guess, because it depends on sometimes you have great ideas and you get burnt out, and then other times you just don't. You've done a school production recently. You spent the last month on. That is amazing. I've worked in music. I've worked in obviously I've toured, and then I also did stuff on Broadway. But always my favorite thing was always productions. I've always wanted to go back to that musicals. Obviously most of the older movies were musicals. You don't see as much of those today, but I always thought they were the one of the best lasting types shows. Tell us about this production.
This year we did the production of We Will Rock You, and it is basically a Queen spin-off. Like, it is a storyline based on Queen's songs, and it has a lot of their songs in it. It has Bohemian Rhapsody, We Are the Champions, We Will Rock You, obviously, Radio Gaga, a lot of them. Like, there are probably 10 to 12 songs in the musical. And it's basically a story of two characters, Galileo and Scaramouche, who are rebels in this kind of sea of Gaga zombies kids. Basically, they're like programmed to hate music and only like a certain type of music. And we meet Galileo Scaramouche, who are the protagonists, and they find a lost musical instrument that makes the whole world believe in rock again. And I played Scaramouche in this year's production, so I was the female protagonist.
Interesting
That's
show, and it's
outstanding.
definitely different.
It is.
That sounds very interesting because it's not your typical fiddler on the roof type, boring type thing you've seen hundreds of times.
Yeah, I've got to find this. I've not seen this. I have to find it now.
It's a very unpopular musical. Like, when I auditioned for this, I didn't know if I really wanted to, because it's not one of those musicals that everyone talks about and everyone loves. So I needed to definitely dig deep into finding the musical on YouTube and stuff like that.
Well, you've given me homework. Now I've got to find
Now
it.
I have to go look this up. And of
My
course,
son's he's in high school. He's a senior now, and he's done a bunch of musicals, and that one, and he loves the musicals, and that one has never come up. I'm gonna have to ask him about it because now I feel as though I need to see it.
You can check it out on YouTube. It's like a ocean cruise production. I think they do this on the cruises and stuff. It's very, very good.
Interesting.
Tom and I both have an affinity for musicals, but we're of that age group where, we grew up with, I remember seeing Grease in the theater the first time, and, so Tom and I, we're of that age group. When you said you were kind of writing something new now, when you said you're in the production phase, when you're in the production phase, is it, do you have a team of people you're working with, or are you doing your own production?
So I do have a producer. His name is Josh, and he used to help me with his wife, just like kind of figure out the demo of the song. Like, I would have the song ready and he would make a demo out of it, and we would use that. But especially for this song, it's been more of a I do most of the work kind of thing, because as I've gotten older, I have obviously developed more of what I want the song to sound like in the final stages. Especially for this song, I've definitely had a vision since I created it. So in this, I've obviously written 100% of them, the lyrics, but in this song, he has produced just the bare bones of the tracks, and now we're in the proper production stage where he's going to add most of the instruments
Very
onto it.
good. Nice. Do
And
you have like your home studio set up, or do you just go on the piano and then kind of go to him and he does all the programming kind of a thing?
so on Logic Pro, just in this room, actually, I created a demo, and I create demos in this room, and then we send it to him. He has a home studio, actually, and then we go there to either record the vocals, backing vocals, or just sit there just to have a listen of how it sounds. Because if he sends the track over, it sounds a lot different what you hear on the phone than what it is actually in the speakers and in the home studio. So we like to go there.
Don't blame you. I
Yeah.
agree. Yeah, it's amazing how difference between what you hear on phones and songs, what you
Yeah,
hear in your
it's
car and songs, and vice versa, hearing it
yeah.
into a real speaker in a studio. Yeah, big difference.
The funny part is my business has changed so much because we used to, in the early 2000s, late night, you mixed for the car. Everyone, it had to sound great in the car. Lately, we've been mixing to the phone. It's got to sound great on the phone.
Yeah, of
So,
course.
yeah, because so much of their music is consumed here that if it
On the
doesn't
phone.
sound good on the phone, people will send a mix back. I'm like, what do you mean? The mix sounds great, but we will mix to the phone now. So it's a weird time.
Yeah, we still listen to the versions, the drafts in the car. We listen to it on phones, multiple devices, just to kind of check that all of them sound the same.
Yeah, that's a good point. Just
Now it's because of your age, it may seem odd to ask you this, but is there any advice you would give to people coming up? Because at your age, you're so accomplished. Is there any advice you would give to the younger you or the younger songwriter who's listening or watching this or hearing this now?
Don't be afraid. Because, for example, actually 4 songs, I was afraid to say what I wanted to say because I was afraid either people in my grade would judge me or people like seniors would judge me and juniors would judge me. And like I was worried about everyone's judgment. And I'm not gonna say that I'm over that now because I'm not, but I feel like I'm definitely working on just not caring, because I feel like everyone says just don't care what other people think, but it's harder than it seems. It's easier said than
By
done.
far.
But I am working on it, and I feel like if someone told me, like as an experienced person with 5 songs now, I know that you should not care because, it doesn't matter. It's your songs.
And again, remember, the songs are about you speaking outwards. But the problem is I agree. We all, no matter what age we are, all worry about what other people think for God knows what reason why we do what we do. And we're always looking for acceptance. I agree on that. How is the acceptance in your age group and in your school of your musical journey? Do people notice it? People have not noticed it?
My first song, Cloudy Days, was definitely, it was a massive hit in my school, and because obviously this is very different. Like you don't see people writing songs and releasing them every day. So the encouragement from my school was really nice. And I feel like everyone really was shocked, first of all, because I was 10 or 11. I was in sixth grade. But everyone was really nice. And I feel like everyone is very nice now, but they're a lot kinder than they seem in social media or anything like that. Because, I mean, I'm not like hate comments or anything, like that hasn't happened. But people don't want to like, or people don't want to comment because it seems, too out there. But in school they'll say it to my face, oh, your song's pretty good and you're pretty good, talented.
You know, you hit on something that I say all the time. It is tough to get people to like or comment. Even though they look at something on social media, it is impossible to get them, regardless of how well you know them, to like or comment. Getting them a like is one thing. Comment is a whole, oh my God, it's
Yeah,
like
of
pulling
course.
teeth. And I agree on that. That is a very strange thing where they'll tell you this in person, but they won't do the simple thing that takes, what, 3 seconds?
I
So
think it's
I
just
get it. It's a battle. In a sense, social media has taken over as your biggest promotional possibilities in today's day and age. It has become harder and harder because obviously social media is more pay for play because more you pay, the more people see, which is kind of sad, but it is It's a battle trying to get consistency on social media platforms, let alone something like Spotify and people trying to and trying to battle that and other medias that have for streaming services. YouTube is another one. And people put so much emphasis on the amount of followers and the amount of people who listen. And at the end of the day, I look at it this way. Anybody can pay put down money and make listeners. Or
Yeah,
followers.
true.
And that's one thing, but it's the engagement and the consistency of the engagement that's more important. If you can get 10 people to comment on something, you've done something outside the norm. But most people, you know, most places are not looking at that, but looking at the real world of that, it is a struggle. And ironically, it is a bigger struggle for your age group, which is really unusual. Your dad and your mom will agree with the two of us about how we didn't grow up with that. We grew up, heck, it wasn't until computers didn't become a thing until we were in high school. And it was in the not even in the beginning of high school. That was going through, you know, almost like sophomore, junior year before computers became, and they weren't even like, obviously not today, but it wasn't a big thing. And we only had, and so think about that. We only had three computers for our whole high school. So
Oh.
when it first came out, so looking at the changes, social media comes out and it's a huge thing, but I've noticed your age group and older going from like 25 on down struggle with social media, but yet you guys grew up with phones in your hands. So I've always found that an interesting aspect. Is that because we've also discovered the anxiety levels of everyone in the age group of 25 and under higher? And is it tougher on social media for them versus telling you to your face? That could be where some of the battle may be in the possibility with that. But yes, I don't blame you on the struggle on trying to get people to do that. It was just
No,
tough.
here in the States, I know how tough it is. For you, is being on social media, is it just something you're doing all the time and you're always trying to promote? Or is social media just one of those things you do when the song is done? How is social media there?
I would say I'm trying to promote my songs more than I used to because, I mean, I started managing my Instagram account when I turned 13. So before then, we would post like videos maybe every 2 weeks or every month or something like that. It wasn't very consistent. But I've recently made a series on Instagram. It's called Tuk Tuk Tracks, where I drive around with my friend and we have a tuk tuk and we live in a community where we can kind of just drive around the tuk-tuk and sing in the middle of the night and hopefully not wake anybody up. But yeah, that's a very it's a nice kind of trend I made on my social media page. And it's kind of like a golf cart. And we have made at least probably 5 episodes and we managed to get over maybe 2,000 views on those episodes. So I would say
Nice.
that's an achievement. But
A
that is
tuk-tuk is
something.
a vehicle or a tuk-tuk is a place?
Tuk-tuk is a vehicle. It's like a golf cart.
Got you.
Yeah. So it's basically, we just drive it around. It's like a small vehicle. It's not very big. So we just drive it around the community and we sing some songs. We did a series where we did an episode from the 70s, an episode from the 80s, an episode from the 90s, where we sing a song related to that decade.
Nice.
So that's something I've tried to include in my social media page to kind of get people to come and listen and follow and yeah, to promote myself.
So, decade-wise, music, what do you think was the best decade that had music, looking at that? If you could and magically go to a decade and be part of that music, which decade would it be?
So for me, I'm pretty biased to it now because of my school production, but I would say the 1970s have been pretty good because of the whole Queen genre and the Queen becoming popular back then. And yeah, I feel like 70s were pretty good.
Queen was way ahead of its time and still ahead of our current music, I think, in a lot of ways. I don't, you know what? I can't even find a favorite song out of Queen because there was just so many of them
Yeah, of course.
that Freddie Mercury was everything that everyone should be in music. every music artist should be in, that energetic on stage, that energetic in the release, the emotion. He was just too perfect. And there's not many people that can bring that kind of energy that he has, or had, I should say, on stage. And again, look at the productions of how, you're right, it will, movies have come back or gone famous and brought the music back. Wayne's World being obviously, a good example of how that took the Queen's music and brought Queen's music to a new generation. And they've done that several times with several different movies that bring that music out. And here you are at doing it in a production and learning about that said music, and understanding how rock anthems that were built, now they built those for arenas. That was how they wrote that music, was for arenas, and which you don't see as much today because more things is scaled down versions. But man, that was incredible for sport. The music was built for sporting events, built for obviously the arenas, for concerts, and obviously for productions and musicals. Yeah, I wish all music was built that way.
I got into a heated debate just this weekend. We were talking about best tenors in all of rock and roll. My buddy took Steve Perry. I took Freddie Mercury.
Pretty
You
Mercury
know,
beats Steve
I
Perry.
mean, you want to talk about a battle. I still think I win. I don't know if you can. Freddie Mercury's voice is just one of those voices. If there was a voice that was meant to be recorded and meant to be played, like you say, in arenas, Freddie Mercury was that guy. No disrespect to Steve Perry, but Freddie Mercury, you just can't beat that vote. His vocals, you just can't beat him.
Of course. I mean, some of the songs that we've sang in the production, they're in the original key, and we still cannot believe that Freddie Mercury hit all those notes, because some of the songs in the show haven't even been transposed down a key or up a key, and it's amazing what his voice can do.
Yeah, he had range,
Clean,
lots
just
of range.
clean. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, from like
Like I say, meant the universe put him in the place that he was supposed to be. He needed to be, his voice needed to be captured, and I'm thankful that it was captured.
Do you have one of the songs that you find in the production that you like the best?
So one, my original, like my only solo song in the production was "Somebody to Love"
Yeah.
from Queen, and
Oh.
that did get transposed a key or up, a key or so like up, because it was meant for a female voice. But I found that that song was very challenging, but it was very fun to sing as well,
Great song,
because
but yeah.
it got the audience clapping a lot, and I definitely got like a standing ovation at the end when I hit the high notes, and it was amazing because I feel like that motivates me and makes me confident. But generally in the production, I did do many duets, and yeah, but that was my solo song.
Very cool. Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years?
So I've had this goal for a while that I'll obviously continue writing, but my 100th song, I believe, I don't know if this is some motivation or manifestation, but like I believe that my 100th song that I write, or probably not release, but I write, will go viral. Like one of 100 songs that I've written, I've probably written around maybe 30 by now, minimum. But I feel like by the time I'm 18 or 19 in 5 years, I will have probably written 100 songs, which means I hopefully, would have at least got my own, maybe my concert, or just starting the journey, getting people to come in and listen to me sing.
Very cool.
Well,
And
manifest. I hope that you continue. You are charming. I really,
thank you.
I've enjoyed the music. And whenever I talk to the younger cats, one of the things I say is that you've done something that most don't do. You were willing to be bad long enough to be good. You said how you struggle like with the piano. So many people, if they start and it's not easy and they're bad, they just stop. But I tell, if you're willing to be bad for this long, you can be good the rest of life. And you've gotten past that, and now you're on the process of getting to your 100th song. I wish you nothing but sunshine and rainbows. I hope everything goes
Thank you.
perfectly
Thank you
for you.
so much.
Please keep in touch with us now. You must come back for your 100th song.
Yes.
And let us know how it goes.
When that one goes viral, we want to do that.
You must. Yes. This is not a maybe. You must come back.
Yes. No, you will do it. There's no way of saying that. You will do it. You are determined and you will do it. And obviously we want to send accolades. Yeah, we want to send accolades out to your parents. Obviously, they've been very supportive in your journey. We know that. And it is great that they have taken their time and have invested it in allowing you to flourish and do what you've done in music, which is hugely important.
Yes. Yeah, so, of course.
So, yes, thank you for being on. And we will look forward to that viral sensation that you become.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're more than welcome. The 100th song, I can't wait.
Yes. The 100th song, yes.
Yeah.